time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're back once again, and it's what, Wednesday? And what's the date today? The 19th? No, this is 2019. This is 27th. George is here.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Well, we've both been under the weather.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't know you had been under the weather same time as I was.
Yeah, we both had surgeries.
Yeah. Oh, my.
They said, oh, Charlie and George are gone. They're not around anymore. I said, we're back.
Yeah, we're back. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and all the different tests. Probably you've had a number of tests, and I've had a number of. In fact, yesterday they found out I had bad hearing in one ear, and so I'm going to have an MRI of my brain to make sure that it's still there.
I first was at Grant Medical Center for a couple of weeks, and then, boom, I'm glad they sent us both, Charlie and I, out to Mount Carmel East.
Yeah.
We weren't even thinking about the West End.
Yeah, I was at Mount Carmel East earlier this year when I had that prostate surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spent time a week in Marion General Hospital.
No, I wasn't in Marion General.
Okay.
I was the only two I was at was Grant and Mount Carmel East.
Okay. Well, Dick Kiefer and I shared a room at Marion General.
Yeah. Oh, February the 14th was his 94th birthday, and then I saw him on the 14th, and then I went up to Primrose on the 15th and stayed with him in the room for an hour, and we just talked and talked and talked, and then a week or so later he dies.
Well, yeah, he... Probably the next day or two.
Well,
because he left Marion General, went to Primrose, and hadn't been there but two or three days and died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was there on his birthday, February 14th.
Okay.
And then the 15th I was there, and we talked and visited, and he was responding. And just all of a clear blue sky, he said, George, I'm not staying here at Primrose. I'm going home. I want to go home.
Well, yeah, he wanted to be with his dog so bad. His dog named Rocky. And he never did get to see him, I guess.
No. He was up at cancer's clinic.
Yeah, right.
Dog.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And so time marches on and takes a few of us one by one. George, it's really interesting. So when you talk to people... And you're talking to them face-to-face, and you think, that person wasn't even born when I was in in my prime.
Charlie, we go way back to the 40s.
Yeah, too far.
30s and 40s.
Yeah. Long before a lot of people. Well, 1934 when I was born. You were born a year or two before that. 1934 was the year, I think, they ended Prohibition.
That's right.
Yeah.
1934.
Yeah. So I was a result of the end of Prohibition.
I was a couple of 2 or 3 years old, but I didn't know anything about Prohibition.
Yeah.
Oh, Prohibition. Yeah, I knew a lot about Prohibition because my mother wouldn't serve liquor.
That's right.
She wouldn't serve liquor or beer or wine in a place. And I said, Mother, all these people are coming in the restaurant. They want a glass of wine with their meal. She said, no way. Yeah. And I said, okay. She said, the church people won't come. And I said, well, that's who was asking for the wine.
Yeah, and so it goes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, how time flies. Oh, my goodness. And, yeah, so I spent time in a nursing home and Marion General, and today was the first day I could walk without a cane.
That's great, Charlie.
It wasn't because I have any surgery. It's just when you lie on your back for a couple of weeks, you're really out of commission.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ooh,
my.
And all those tubes and things stuck in you?
I didn't have any of that.
I did.
In fact, I didn't have a single... I don't know. I had pneumonia for one thing. And they thought I had that other thing where you can't breathe well. What's it called? I don't know. But anyhow, I still wonder what I was all wrong. But, George, I got to the point where they had to pick me up. I couldn't do it myself, and they had to pick me up and load me on a gurney and send me to the emergency room.
Oh, my God, Charlie.
I thought, what's going on? Why?
Well, they put stents in me.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. I had both sides of my body had stents, and I was tied up, tubes all over the place.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
I've got 7 stents in me. I've got a card that I carry showing where all these stents are located. In case I showed it to a doctor and he said, yeah, so what? Oh, my. And so it goes. So we both had our time, and now hopefully we're on a straight, good, healthy path right now.
I certainly hope so, Charlie. It's just amazing that what can go wrong with the body.
Yeah. My goodness. And so I'm enrolled in that new building downtown, there where Frank Brothers used to be. That's the Ohio Health Heart Failure Clinic now.
Yeah.
And so I'm here and I'm there and all over the place. I just hope my insurance holds out, my supplemental insurance. Boy, I don't know what you would do without that. Oh, because Medicare would begin to pay for all that. But your supplemental does. And, of course, it costs us an arm and a leg every month.
I get a call from Medicare every day. George, are you all right?
Yeah.
George, are you all right? George, are you all right? They want to know if you're all right because they don't want to spend any more money.
Right.
Taking care.
Well, the calls I get say, Charlie Edwards, how is your pain in your back? And I said, hey, that's pretty good. I said, and I asked him, I said, how do you know I've got a pain in my back? That's secret information. The doctor never gives out. Yeah, I don't know, but he got it. Oh, yes. And that's the way it is, folks. Well, George, here lately on the Facebook, people have said, where is the oldest restaurant in Marion? That's a good question, isn't it? There's none of the older restaurants left in Marion, are there?
No.
Not one?
Not one.
Now, they say the oldest restaurant, and it's outside the city limits, the Stewart's Root Beer Stand.
Probably,
That would be the oldest place to eat.
It's still in the city limits.
Well, it's just outside.
Oh, that's right.
The
You're
city
right.
limits
it's
right there. Yeah. And that's about that and what the Jersey in Marion, the Jersey must be the oldest within the limits, you think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what's happened in the meantime?
Well, don't forget the OK Cafe.
That's right.
Mer Sanson started that.
Yeah.
Mer Sanson started that way.
I forgot about the OK Cafe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would that be the oldest then?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Mer started that back in probably the 40s,
okay.
Late 30s, early 40s. Because I started it, my mother and I started here in downtown in 42.
Okay.
In 1942.
And back, I think Turoff started about 20 or 1917 or somewhere around there.
Early 20s.
Or was it? And they're gone. Everybody's gone.
Yeah, Chris and Jim Turoff. Oh, my God.
And is George, he's still alive, isn't he?
Yeah, George is alive, but he didn't start it.
His uncles
started. Chris and Jim too.
I remember when George came to this country.
Oh, yeah.
That was back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And took over. And I often wondered, I never asked him, why his arm became crippled.
It was an accident.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then after he closed down, he became a cook at Marion General.
Yeah, yeah. He helped at me. He had a special hamburger named after him.
Oh, is that
the
right?
George Turoff hamburger.
Oh. It's a wonder he didn't have a pie named after him, too.
Yeah, those cream pies.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, wow. Yeah. So a lot of things have happened. Now, in the generation we have out there now, they're all saying, do you remember? Do you remember when? Do you remember this or remember that? Well.
We used to have a contest on our, one of the neatest things in the food business is called bread pudding.
Really?
I made a bread pudding, and George made a bread pudding.
Oh.
And we would contest on a weekly basis who had, from the customers, do you like George Turoff's bread pudding better than George Kasotis's bread pudding?
Yeah.
And 1 week I would win, and they would name me Greek of the Week.
No kidding.
And then if George would win, he would be named Greek of the Week.
Yeah, George is Macedonian, I think.
Well, he claims to be Greek.
Borderline, yeah.
He speaks fluent Greek.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I like George. He was such a kind person, too.
Oh, I've got a lot of pictures of George and I together.
Yeah.
In front of my restaurant with my umbrellas.
Oh,
it says Cafe George, Cafe George, umbrellas in front of my restaurant. And he used to come over because he liked to look across and see the name.
Scott,
Cafe.
You know we hear so much about Bernie Sanders being a socialist. But actually, one of the first big socialists to run for president came from right here in Marion, Ohio.
Oh, yes, Norman Thomas.
Yes, and did you know Norman Thomas also sold ice cream?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was the first ice cream socialist.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again, and there's a lot of reminiscing to do. George, you were talking about people that come up to you and said how much they enjoyed a certain pie.
Well, no. That was back when George Turoff and George Kasotis, both across the street from each other, had restaurants, right?
Yes.
Well, then, now 20, 30 years later... George isn't that much around. He very seldom see him out of his house.
Right.
He's at home all the time. And I get around all the time because I speak here, I talk here, I do this. I'm in the community all over every day. And people walk up to me and they say, George, I remembered your big cream pies.
Yes.
And I hated to say, I'm sorry, but I didn't do cream pies. That was George Turoff, not George Kasotis.
Was that banana cream?
Banana cream, coconut cream,
all
the different creams. Oh,
yeah. Did you have a pie you made or not?
No, just baklava. I made baklava
and
my double cheesecakes.
Oh, okay.
I made the biggest 3 inches high cheesecakes.
Oh.
Oh. Those were my two biggest sellers.
Okay. But yet, we do not have any restaurant that has carried over from those early years. Now, Byrie's have been there for 10 years or more?
Just 10 years.
Okay. And one owner between you and Byrie's. And he died, and Byrie's came in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And Byrie's were from where? Was it Argentina?
Yeah, they came from Buenos Aires.
Yeah, okay. Hence the name, their name of the restaurant.
You know what? I became famous in downtown Marion during the first popcorn festival. You know why?
Why?
John Isley and his wife and nine or eight other people had a big, huge round table, and I seated 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing this. I would make my baklava in a great big hotel pan. You know, I get about 80 pieces out of that hotel pan. But when I cut them in pieces, a lot of little crumbs and nuts, the pecans would fall in the nuts, and the phyllo dough, the crispy browned phyllo dough, I would scrape that all up and put it on top of a couple dips of vanilla ice cream, and I called it a baklava sundae.
All right.
It was like an ice cream sundae. John Isley, the first popcorn festival, is setting out in front. The parade used to come down South Main Street.
Yes.
And then they changed it to go down, you know, after about 4, 5, 6 years coming down South Main Street, they moved it over to State Street and down Church and then down South Main Street again. They didn't come down to the main Center Street and South Main.
Yeah.
But when they came by my place, the parade is coming by, I brought out 4 baklava sundaes and served them to 4 people. And John Isley got up and said, "George, what was that you just served?" I said, "It's called a baklava sundae." He said, "Make 10 of those for us." So I made 10 of them, and they started eating them. John Isley, the famous name
Isley. You graduated with him.
Yeah. He got up and said, "I'm in the ice cream business, but George Kasotis just made a baklava sundae that's better than any of my sundaes ever."
Well,
he really liked the baklava sundae.
Because everybody went to the Isley shop for ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
The interesting thing, too, when you opened the door of the Isley shop, you could see everybody that was in there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that was a popular thing.
That's almost like Perkins today.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's almost in that same location.
You walk in, you can see everybody in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You know what? That's close, because the Perkins is close to where Isley's was.
Well, that's right. Just a couple of doors away.
Yeah.
I was in a restaurant in Bucyrus the other day that it was in a building that had been a Mexican, a regular restaurant, a pizza place. And until this lady bought it and opened it up, her name was Lulu.
Lulu.
It's called Lulu's. And it's just a regular type of restaurant with good food, and it's packed all the time. And because she had been a waitress for over 30 years in different restaurants.
But this is in Bucyrus?
Yeah, right.
Is that open now?
Yeah, it's open now. It's right there at the city limits when you come in on Route 98, Route 4. It's right just down the street from McDonald's, going north.
That's not where Freddy's used to be.
No, it's there's a Baptist church next to it.
Oh, okay.
And it's right there as you enter the town.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the secret is, I guess, a casual atmosphere and friendliness. Well, like you've often said, the owner needs to be there greeting people. And mixing with people, making them feel good.
Right.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, so the oldest restaurant in the Marion area would have to be Stewart's. But does Stewart's go back before the Jersey?
I think it does, yes.
Okay.
It goes back to the 20s.
I remember different people that owned Stewart's. At one point, the health commissioner of Marion, I'm trying to remember his name, I can't remember his name. He owned it for Stewart's for a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so what is the big attraction there? Is it nostalgia?
What, you mean Stewart's?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the root beer float.
Oh, sure, the root beer float.
Oh, my God, that is so good.
Now, the interesting thing, that Tractor Supply Company, there beside Bob Evans, it sells root beer, and I looked at the root beer company, it said, "We're the company that supplies root beer to Stewart's." Isn't that something?
Yes.
Oh. Well, anyhow. So, chicken sandwiches, root beer floats, you name it. Standard items.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the way. Boy, food is big. So are a lot of people eat food. But, George, I was really pleased with the personnel at Marion General and the nursing home, too. You know, they have to put up with so much and do so much work that none of us in a regular lifetime would never do. And yet they do it every day. And I asked them, I told the one girl, "I'm sorry that I made such a mess there." "Oh, that's okay. We're used to this." And so it goes.
So it goes. I mean, restaurants are something. And what did I tell you yesterday? I went out to McMahon Boulevard.
Yes.
And the number of the building is 312 McMahon Boulevard.
Oh, okay. Now, is that the fellow that used to own the one on Church Street?
On Center Street.
Church. Oh, Center. You're right.
Yeah, Center Street.
Yeah.
And that place, he's... when they had it, the Chinese people had it, it was in sections, and he tore that all out and made it one big dining room.
Oh, is that right? I remember going there once. Well, it was a Japanese, I think, and that was...
I forget. There was another restaurant out there years ago. It was called Holy Guacamole.
Yeah.
You don't remember that.
No, but there was another one, too, that was located down for AT&T. Is the AT&T business office.
Uh-huh.
And it was, I wish I could remember the name of it. But it went out of business after a short period of time. So, anyhow. And, I wanted to mention, too, Sunday, April the 7th, that's a little while yet, Blue Fusion will be the site of the Marion Evening Lions Club Trivia. I got a frog in my throat today. I don't know where he
Charlie,
emanated from.
Yeah. I've got Tommy Trent on the radio.
Oh, okay.
And out at the 312 McMahon Boulevard, he's out there and under construction. But Tommy Trent is opening up a beautiful restaurant at 312 McMahon Boulevard between Kohl's and Hobby Lobby. But it's going to be, he's under construction, but he wants to say something to you. Hey, Tommy, say hello to Charlie Evers.
Hello, Charlie Evers. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. I can barely hear you.
Okay, I'm in the car. I just left the eye doctor's.
Oh, you're in the car. Okay.
Yeah, sir. I'm heading over to the restaurant now.
Okay, so you got a lot of work ahead of you. When do you plan to open your restaurant?
We are aiming for May.
May, okay.
We're aiming for.
So you've got a lot of work in the meantime. How many people will you be able to accommodate?
We are set up for 75.
75. Okay, that's a pretty good crowd. Okay. And is there something special that you will have on your menu?
There's a lot of things that's going to be special. We make our own cheesecake from scratch.
Your own cheesecake?
Yes, sir. That's our passionate dessert. We are actually an Italian bistro, so we'll be having great pastas. We have our own calzones that'll be on the menu. We'll be having... fish and chips. We make our chips from scratch. We was voted number one for our Reuben sandwiches last year.
Okay, so you'll have Reuben for sure.
Oh yeah, for lunches, yes. We're actually gonna have authentic Italian dishes that are actually gonna be on our menu, and of course we'll have our great steaks, our New Yorks, our ribeyes, and also our filet mignon.
Wow. Well, it sounds great. You say May will be your opening month.
That's what we're aiming for at this point.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, appreciate talking to you. Now, the name of your restaurant again?
Tommy's Creations Italian Bistro.
Tommy's Creations Italian Bistro. Yeah.
Yeah, we're at 312 McMahon Boulevard.
Okay. Right, okay. No, exactly.
Yeah, we're in that same vicinity as Hobby Lobby and Kohl's.
Okay, very good. All right. Okay, well, thanks, Tommy, for calling or
thank
talking
you.
To us. Okay.
I'm glad to do it. Anytime.
All right, thank you. Okay. Well, George, thanks for calling.
Okay, Tommy, see
you. See you, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, that's interesting now. We like to give attention to new businesses in the Marion area.
Oh, yes.
And there is one. Okay, Tommy's Creations used to be on Church Center Street, and now it will be at McMahon Boulevard.
312, just right in between Hobby Lobby and Kohl's, right. And it's going to be, I was in there yesterday. Charlie, it's beautiful. Okay. The room is
75 people.
Oh, that it has booths on one side and dining room tables on the other side. And the atmosphere, he had three different sections in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Big, huge refrigerator, freezer, walk-in coolers, walk-in freezers. Ah, I couldn't believe it. And brand-new restrooms.
Oh, really?
Tile floors, new sinks, new toilets, new everything.
Wow.
And it's, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe the all the floor is the tile. Beautiful dark gray tile. And, it's going to be neat.
Oh, okay. So that will be a feature in May, probably the opening.
Right. Yeah. And I was so impressed with it. I said, Tommy, if I'm capable and handy, I'll come out and help you.
That's right. I remember when you helped Steve Dakota Grill.
Oh, yeah. I helped Steve Dakota's.
Yeah. Hey, well, I was there the other day for their noon luncheon. And, boy, they have a lot of people.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
That's great. Oh, that's another nice restaurant.
Oh, that's a beautiful restaurant.
Yeah.
That's all brand new in there.
Yes. Okay. We're going to break here.
We'll be Scott, right. I bet you cannot guess what my favorite type of animal is.
Cats?
No. Dogs? Now, can you guess what my favorite type of dog is?
Black Lab.
No. Golden Retriever. Was there any doubt?
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, I'm back once again with George Kasotis. And let's see, we've talked a lot about eating today so far. George, I was wondering, too. You talked so much about the oil boom and what they did when you had a restaurant. Did Turoff's have the same thing? Of course, Turoff's didn't serve any alcoholic beverage.
No.
Yeah, you know, coffee and pie and
that was it.
Whatever, yeah.
I had the liquor permit, and I was lucky to get it by early 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened in the early 60s.
That's right, 63 was a big year.
And no, it started to be 61, 62, because the $1,000 bill was still in circulation.
Okay.
And because Texans came in my restaurant with the big coffee thermoses and say, fill up because we can smell your coffee. It smells delicious. And they pulled out a $1,000 bill. And they were in circulation until 64.
Okay.
They went out of circulation in 64.
I think the height of the boom. The sky lit up orange and red over Morrow County was 63. And then it carried on for a while after that.
Yes.
And slowly petered out.
It took about 12 years.
They put the wells so close together that they exhausted the gas that needed to help push the oil out of the ground. The state came out with regulations then. You could not have a well within so many feet of another. And that kind of wiped them out.
Yeah, but they had them so close together that they just...
They ruined it.
They ruined it.
They had wells in people's backyards.
Ollie Myers.
Ori Myers.
You remember Ollie?
He was a good friend of mine, yes.
He was... I think that's where the first well started. And I measured it one time from Myers store in Marion to Ollie's first well, 8 miles.
Is that right?
I measured it one time.
Wow.
That's 8 miles from Marion's Myers.
Yeah,
that's a big grocery store, department store.
Right.
And I measured it one time because I used to drive over there. I catered over there when they first built. They didn't have food.
Professional building.
No, they built the derrick, the motel.
Oh, the motel, yes.
The motel,
yes.
And they built a derrick, too.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the derrick?
I was flying with my brother-in-law from Eastern Ohio, and the first thing we saw when we got close to Morrow County was the derrick lit up.
That was about what? How many feet high was that?
Oh, I don't know. It must have been 100 feet high.
Oh, it was 100 feet high.
Yeah.
You could see that it was made out of wood.
Yeah, you could see it all over. And now it's pretty much gone, that part.
I don't even think any part of that derrick is still alive.
I wonder if any part of that motel is still, because there wasn't much need for it after the oil left.
Yeah.
I remember I spoke in that building two different times to the Mount Gilead Lions Club. I'll never forget that. And that was a long time ago.
When they first opened, they made a bar. They had a bar, a private room bar, and you had to be a member to get in there. And they charged you $50 to be a member to go in and have a drink.
Oh, my land. Oh, boy.
So Joe Sansoda and I went over and joined it, and we went up to the bar, and I said, we just paid $50 to get in here, and we asked for a drink, and we got a drink, and they said, that'll be $9. I said, $9 for two drinks? And I said, yeah. I said, we just paid $50 to get in here. I thought we'd get a free drink.
Oh, my.
Boy, that money was something else. It was going like crazy. Money, oh. money made the Mount Gilead go around.
Now, Joe's son that has Sansoda's Italian, he had opened up a place in Sunbury. I heard that it's not there now.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Joe for a while, okay. Young Joe.
Yeah, but he seems to be going strong in Marion.
But I still miss Big Joe.
Yeah, tall Joe. Joe, that guy was 6 foot something.
6'5".
Yeah, I can believe it. And his the girl that he was dating, I later on worked with at the radio station.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that was a long time ago. 1950s.
Yeah. Where did
time go?
Did you work at a Mr. J shop?
Yeah, Jay's Toggery.
And Joe would come in and buy from you.
Right. Jay Winters was the man's name that owned it. He was a professional football referee.
Was that Mr. J shop?
Yeah.
Where was that at?
His name was Jay Winters.
Okay, but where was the J shop?
Okay, it was right down, it was across from Struble's drugstore, more or less.
In Bucyrus?
But Gretzen Polk. Right? Just south of the...
Wait. We're in Bucyrus?
Yeah, north of the square.
Oh, north of the square.
About four doors north.
Okay.
And I used to have to clean the windows every Friday outside using newspaper for my wiping claws. And then every year, I would have to dust 300 of the hats that we had not sold. Oh, my. But that was good training. That was my first professional employment, you might say. And I was in high school yet, and I was working under a work experience program, like I think they still have those, where you go to school part of the day and work at the other part.
Right, right.
Of course, when I did that, I missed a lot of activity among my classmates. It was good training.
When I bought my first Borsellino, you don't know what a Borsellino is. That's one of Italy's famous hats.
Ah.
Borsellino. That company was in Milan. Was it in Milan, Italy? And they made the best hats in the world. And I bought one time. And I didn't buy that in Italy. I bought it at Lazarus, the first Lazarus store downtown Columbus, because they were having an all-Italian event. And the only place I took that hat to get it cleaned was Pete Gatsouris, Pete's Hat Shop.
In Bucyrus?
Yeah, Pete's Hat Shop.
Yeah, I knew him well.
You knew Pete?
My cousins all worked for him, Shining Shoes.
Yeah, Shining. He had a little shoe repair shop and hat shop, hat cleaning. And
His seats and his things you put your foot on to have it shined still exist. In the historical society. Okay, caller, go ahead. Caller? Hello, Donna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well,
did you want to say something?
They're not. Are they there? Are you there?
I certainly hope I'm not live and on air.
Yes, you are. You don't want to be on the air, I take it.
No, that's not what I was calling for. I was calling for Terry Cackett, the operations manager.
Okay. Well, thanks, and call later. He was calling for Scott. He didn't know Scott has another number.
Oh.
Okay. Now, Pete. Pete Shoeshine Parlor is now in the Historical Society's barn beside their museum.
Really?
So you can still sit in Pete's Shoe Sign Parlor. But you don't get your shoes signed. Oh, my. I can still hear those boys, when they got good, slapping that rag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, whap, whap, whap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they put the shoe polish on with their fingers, not with a brush.
Right.
And they could rub that into the shoes so much better with their fingers. You could always tell a boy that worked for Pete because his hands were black. Wow. And so I took that as a good sign, and I used to polish my shoes the same way. And people said, do you ever wash your hands ever? But Pete was good. He was known as a hat blocker. And you took your hat there to
I took my Borsellino there. That's the only place I would take it, because he made it look beautiful. Oh.
Well, now, here's an interesting thing. His relative has Little Athens restaurant in Bucyrus, and it was just awarded for I don't know how many years in a row the most sanitary and clean restaurant anywhere around.
Is that Little Athens?
Little Athens, yeah.
What's his name?
It's a Gasuris, but I don't know his for Pete's.
I know him. I know him.
You probably do, yeah.
Him and his wife came to my restaurant before he opened up and wanted to buy my restaurant, but I didn't want to sell it.
He's got a restaurant in Mansfield, too.
Little Athens?
Yeah.
It's called Little Athens. Yeah.
But in Bucyrus, it was awarded for I don't know how many years in a row the most clean, fault-free restaurant anywhere around. That's good.
Well, that is great.
That takes work. Oh, my. But where he's located, now get this. In 1947, what is now his dining room, the Olin Mills Studios would come about once a year and take pictures, you know, for a charge. I had my picture taken there in that room, and I still have it. And that was 1947.
Really?
Yeah, 1947. Boy, everything was a long time ago, it seems like. Wow. So, George, we've both been through the health mill in the past month. I didn't realize that you'd been so involved, too. Wow.
Yes, I was. I was involved. I was in the hospital, and you were in the hospital, and we were having surgeries, and oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yes, and now we're both on our feet. I didn't even use a cane to get into it today. And I know you didn't either.
Oh, I didn't have a cane. Yeah. No way.
So it takes a while to recover from lying flat on your back for weeks. Boy. So, it's now 10:57 and a half. Now, if you have any questions you'd like to ask us, anything you'd like to add to the program today, don't feel bashful. At our number is 7403-39944. George, I'm on a salt-free diet of all things. You might as well die and forget about everything to go on a salt-free diet. Food just doesn't taste right without a little bit of additional salt.
Yeah, right.
But what do you do? What do you substitute? There's that one Mrs. Somebody's spices you can put on, but that's not like salt.
That pink stuff, what do you call it, sea salt?
Oh, yeah, they call that Yeah, and it's regular sea salt, really.
Actually, that's organic, isn't it?
Oh, what's it called? They sold those lights you could plug in.
Yeah.
Made out of that salt. Yeah, I think it's just regular salt, but there's a mineral in the ground that makes it pink. But, yeah, they say don't lick it. But it's real salt. But I need to find something that tastes like salt.
The same pink, which in the Greek islands we call it coral.
Yeah.
Because when the waves come in, there's actual what do they call that coral? That coral is pink.
Right.
And when it comes in and hits the shore and hits the rocks, it breaks up.
Oh.
That coral breaks up.
Really?
And it spreads it like sand into the white sand, and it makes the sand look pink.
Uh-huh.
That's along the Greek islands in the Aegean Sea.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about because I know my mother's island.
Yeah.
And all the other islands that I've been to in the Aegean Sea have that pinkish sand.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
That pink sand. Yeah. And I'm thinking, how did you get pink sand here? And they say, well, that's the coral. These big chunks of coral come in, and it crashes the rocks.
Wow.
And it breaks up, and every time a wave comes in, boom. For thousands of years, it breaks up that
coral.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
and then just
I just made up that answer.
Then onward and upward.
You're always a little bit miffed, of course, because everyone doesn't love you. But at the same time, you have to look at yourself and see whether they're right or not.
Do you go home at night, Helen, and think, my goodness, this person said that, this person said that? Does it keep you up at nights?
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I have to think that nobody likes criticism, but sometimes it's very legitimate.
Final question I have for you, Helen, is probably the question I've been asked the most since I did the interview with you back in October of 2010. Why did you finally decide to speak, and how did it come about that you chose me to do the first interview?
Well, because you've been very kind, very fair. You don't jump in and attack me every time I open my mouth. I like that, and I think you're a fair reporter.
Streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage, crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Beltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair.
This is Patty Wooster with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing sportsmanship, friendship, and exciting competition. To our Marion youth, 740-382-4558.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by Affordable Event Games, LLC. Address 141 South Main Street. Telephone number 740-262-6050. Facebook Affordable Event Games.
This is Scott Spears looking down on the beautiful city of Marion from the WWGH News Chopper. If you would like to ever submit a news tip or an event to the WWGH News Department, email scott at wwgh1071.com and watch out for the chopper.
Vanover Square Apartments, address 465 Merchant Avenue, offer 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. Phone number 740-389-3462. WWGH Radio 107.1 FM proudly presents Women from Ohio Who Made History. Ella P. Stewart of Lucas County was one of the first African American female pharmacists in the United States.
This segment on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by the committee to elect Tara Dyer, 5th Ward Councilperson, reminding you not to forget to vote in the primary on Tuesday, May 7th.
This is Mary Ellen Withrow, and you can catch my friend Scott Spears Monday through Friday from 12:10 until 2 p.m. right here on WWGH 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Entertaining interviews with celebrities and local topics every day.
I'm the man with the golden voice, and you're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Taste great, less filling.
This is Seth Sullinger, and Talking Points with Seth Sullinger heard on WWGH Radio every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon is supported by Moral Companies. Phone number, Moral, 465-3251. Caledonia, 419-845-2052. Address, Morrill, 132 Post.